Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 30 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Rachel Turner.
It also provides like a bibliography a little bit about what that individual's done and the impact that they've had on our society.
Moorhead State University kicks off Black History Month this week.
A new CDC report is putting pressure on schools to reopen.
Vaccine supplies might be dwindling in the region.
Meanwhile, a FEMA grant should help Kentucky beef up its vaccine program.
A group is lobbying for an end to conversion therapy in Kentucky.
Transylvania professors are celebrating women who are pillars of the community.
A Rowan family that escaped a house fire is asking for support.
Moorhead State men's and women's basketball teams hit the road over the weekend.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Snow showers tonight with a low around 23. We'll take a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The Eagle Diversity Education Center at Moorhead State University is hosting events for all students to celebrate Black History Month. Though many programs can't be replicated virtually, such as the Soul Food Dinner, there have been other ways to engage students while staying mindful of the pandemic. The celebration starts tomorrow with the True Black History Museum virtual tour. It takes place at 5:30 p.m. and can be accessed through the Eagle Link. Dr. Corey Clark is the Minority Academic Service Coordinator at MSU. He says the museum has been adapting from its original form, but still strives toward the same goal.
Trying to preserve the history of African Americans, and whether it be, you know, that information that predates slavery, but also during and post, and comes with the presentation as well. So you can expect a good presentation and also some visual artifacts.
Events for the rest of the month can be found on Eagle Link on the Moorhead State University website.
A new Centers for Disease Control report is adding further pressure of schools to reopen, but some officials are warning against a one-size-fits-all approach. In a study of 17 schools in rural Wisconsin with mask and social distancing rules in place, the CDC found COVID-19 transmission was low. The results are encouraging news for advocates who worry about the toll remote learning is taking on education and students' mental health. But others argue school districts need more than a single study, and school leaders need to work with local health departments to craft plans that reflect the needs of particular communities. The sentiment was echoed by White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, who pointed to challenges faced by schools in larger districts.
For areas where they are more populated, where schools where there is a lot more foot traffic, that there are going to need to be a lot of steps put in place in order to make the schools reopening safe.
The researchers added that much of schools' success plans relies on their embrace of safety precautions.
Kentucky is currently vaccinating more people than the number of doses being shipped, meaning there are now about 1,500 facilities capable of vaccinating people that can't all receive doses. The state is still on track to open its regional vaccine drive-through centers this month. Governor Andy Beshear says facilities providing the vaccine now won't always have doses in the future.
Now, we keep saying that this is the highest rate since May, but remember, in May, we didn't have testing we have right now. This is a high positivity rate with an abundance of testing, which means that the virus is at an all-time high in its spread.
Beshear says he has not yet received a response from the federal government for doubling Kentucky's allocation of doses.
More than 267,000 Kentuckians have been vaccinated so far, but that's only a small percentage of people in the state. Lexington's Dr. Ryan Stanton says the past 12 months have been full of unrealistic expectations. Stanton tells WKYT he's optimistic as the vaccine is being injected into more and more arms.
We're going to see the numbers start to trend down slowly and hopefully then start to drop off pretty significantly once we have more vaccines and vaccinated people.
So far, distribution has gone slower than expected because of the low supply. Dr. Stanton believes that will soon change as new vaccines are approved.
The Fayette County Health Department is gradually expanding signups for vaccinations, moving beyond Phase 1A. With limited supplies and few guarantees about how many doses the department will receive each week, the health department is moving cautiously as it opens up appointments for those outside of the first priority group. Until now, the department has been focusing solely on frontline healthcare workers and long-term care residents and staff. Spokesperson Kevin Hall says that's changing.
We are in the move to transition as a health department from solely being in 1A to being into part of 1B. And I say part because we are targeting seniors who are 70 and above with mobility, technological, and transportation issues.
Those over 70 in the 1B group will also be a priority at a regional vaccination center set to open tomorrow at the Kentucky Horse Park.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency has obligated $46.9 million to the Commonwealth of Kentucky for the cost of the COVID-19 vaccine mission. WMKY's Josh Grogan has more.
The award provides expedited federal funding to reimburse 100% of costs related to the Commonwealth's vaccination program for a 90-day period. The costs can include equipment and supplies needed for distributing vaccines, personal protective equipment, and leasing facilities for storing vaccines. The costs will also cover emergency medical care, equipment for the safe disposal of medical waste, and communications to dismantle public information. Administrators for FEMA say the funding will help the state distribute and administer COVID-19 vaccinations to more Kentuckians. For WMKY News, I'm Josh Grogan.
Fayette County schools have pushed back the target date for in-person learning again, leading to frustration and talk of a lawsuit from some local parents. The school system says each school individually is looking at how to continue to help students succeed. Greg Prince, a father of two, tells LEX 18 he's watched both of his children struggle with virtual learning and trying to make sense of everything.
I watch them degrade every day. I mean, socially, the fact that most other counties in Kentucky are making this happen. 90% of counties in the country are making this happen, but we can't make it happen. Why? Does that make sense?
Prince says some parents are ready to fight in the courtroom to get their kids back in the classroom. The school district says it has not yet received a lawsuit.
A newly released poll shows an increasing amount of public support to put an end to the widely discredited practice of conversion therapy. The organization to ban conversion therapy in Kentucky has been lobbying the state legislature to pass the Mental Health Protection Act in 2021 in order to end the treatment. 31-year-old Zach Miners of Louisville underwent conversion therapy when he was younger and now is a vocal advocate against the practice. Miners tells LEX 18 he endured the abuse of the program for 4 years, including being told he must inflict physical pain upon himself for thinking about boys.
And it wasn't until I found out that the people who I went to go see, who almost caused me to end my life and who were psychologically and emotionally abusive to me, once I found out that those people were still practicing, I knew that I had to come forward and tell my story, and that's when I started, you know, beginning to speak up.
According to Ban Conversion Therapy Kentucky, there are around 50 licensed clinicians who continue the practice of conversion therapy.
Two Transylvania University professors are portraying women who are considered pillars in the community. For 2 months, Kromina Todorova and Kurt Good worked on a photo series to celebrate and honor Lexington women of color who led. LEX 18 reports the photos explain what the women have done in Lexington, posted along with a description of what the women do, showing and empowering women of all generations.
It felt really incredible to be able to share stories about women who are so often so humble themselves that they wouldn't put themselves in, they wouldn't declare themselves a leader.
The social media movement is in honor of Kamala Harris becoming the first female vice president. A Rowan County family of nine, including 4 small children, is in need after losing their home in a fire last week. Homeowner Kathy Holbrook tells WKYT the family barely made it out of the fire and lost everything, including sentimental items like a quilt her late mother made and memories of the son she lost. Gateway Helping Hands has stepped in to help the family, which is staying with friends while they look for a new home. Randy Newsom with Gateway Helping Hands said the agency tries to make it easy for families to receive assistance.
our motto is that, you know, we give without prejudice. We don't make people go through a whole lot of stuff, filling out a lot of paperwork and stuff to feed them. If somebody's hungry, they're hungry, and God always provides.
To make a donation to the family, contact Gateway Helping Hands through Facebook or Twitter. The organization posted a list of items the family needs, including clothing, shoes, diapers, bottles, and formula.
Taking a look at the region's weather forecast for tonight, snow showers mainly before 1 a.m., low around 23. Chance of precipitation is 90%. New snow accumulation is less than 1 inch possible. Tuesday, a chance of flurries before 8 a.m., with a high near 33. Tuesday night, a chance of flurries before 11 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 22. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 38.
On our feature segment today, a member of Morehead State University's faculty is being inducted into the Kentucky Aviation Hall of Fame. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has the story.
Dr. Ben Malfres is a professor of space science at Morehead State University and serves as the executive director of the school's Space Science Center. He is also responsible for developing MSU's space science and astrophysics degree programs. But when he found out he was being inducted into the Kentucky Aviation Hall of Fame earlier this year, Malfres says it was a lot to take in.
If you look at the previous inductees, I'm not sure I belong in that group necessarily. I'm really humbled by that because there are astronauts and fighter pilots and aces, and there's some scientists and engineers in there as well, but it really is an extraordinary group of people. So it's an incredible honor to be recognized as part of that group. I'm very humbled by it, actually.
And while it's true Malfres hasn't flown any combat missions like some of his colleagues in the Hall of Fame, his name is still one to be recognized within the astronomical and aerospace community. During the late 1990s, he developed a theory on galaxy formation that has since gained wide acceptance.
Basically, the idea was that these small galaxies evolve from tidal features, from big galaxies that are slamming into each other or undergoing gravitational encounters and shearing material off of each other. And then under the right conditions, those materials can become self-gravitating and form new galaxies.
Developing that theory, Malfres says, was put into motion earlier in the decade through some work he did at the National Radio Astronomy Observatory in West Virginia.
Well, at the time, it was one of the largest installations for research in radio frequency astrophysics in the world, and I was studying interacting galaxies, basically using radio telescopes to try to understand the physics of galaxy-galaxy interaction. And it was a lot of fun. We had some of the world's greatest astronomers blow through there while I was there. And basically, it was where I learned how to engage in scientific research.
Malfres says models at the time didn't show how dwarf galaxies, which account for a significant majority of galaxies, were formed. But when his theory was used in practice, it led to the discovery of a previously unknown galaxy.
Yeah, it was really the first galaxy discovered that proved that these dinky little dwarf irregular galaxies can form from tidal interaction. So it was a lot of fun. I spent 20 years of my career doing that sort of fundamental research after we came up with that theory, again, that Fritz Zwicky had laid the foundation for in the 1950s.
Then, when it came time to develop degree programs at MSU, Malfres says his work began to come full circle.
So we started off the program really in astrophysics, doing fundamental research that was a sort of spinoff of the radio astronomy, observing techniques, and we taught students. We built a radio telescope. It was actually quite successful. And so we learned the instrumentation at the level that was required to design and build those type instruments.
The astrophysics program continued to grow and change through the years and eventually led to additional degree programs.
Being in sort of the ground floor, an early adopter of CubeSat technology really helped us evolve the academic programs. And so then we evolved the space science program into space systems engineering, which is an aerospace program, but it's really the space side of aerospace. And then later we had a master's degree.
And with the programs having been in place for several years now, Malfres says many of his former students are now out in the field making names for themselves.
They're literally all over the NASA centers, and they also work for the big aerospace companies. Boeing and Lockheed Martin. And then they work for some of the smaller aerospace and defense companies as well, some of the startups that are doing really, really interesting things.
Dr. Ben Malfris is part of the 25th enshrinement class into the Kentucky Aviation Hall of Fame. He will be recognized at an official Hall of Fame induction ceremony later this year. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, celebrating 100 years in business in 2021. Ruth Hunt has assorted candies and gifts for Valentine's Day. Candy makers are busy dipping long-stemmed strawberries and black grapes in their finest chocolate, ready on February 12th, 13th, and 14th. Available at Ruth Hunt stores in Mount Sterling and on Walton Avenue in Lexington. Ruth Hunt's gourmet chocolates are also online at ruthhuntcandy.com.
It's 523 and 30 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, and today we're here with Rachel Turner and Keneally Roberts, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports, but first, thank you so much for joining us on this snowy Monday afternoon.
Regional teams are hitting the hardwood this week. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. The Moorheads men's basketball season is in full swing. Playing Jacksonville State and Tennessee Tech over the weekend, they played both of these teams on the road, beating both with very low scoring margins. Coach Bradlin says his team struggled to find their groove during offense earlier in the season.
Our defense was exceptional, but our offense really struggled to get going and get in a rhythm. However, we were able to pull out those with a 3-point and a 1-point victory here at home. And so our team's been playing really well. And
Morehead State welcomes Murray State and Austin Peay Thursday and Saturday, respectively. The Eagle women had their Thursday night game postponed and fell to Tennessee Tech on Saturday. The Eagles are 5-10 overall this season and 4-7 in conference play. Head coach Greg Todd is really happy with the way his young team is playing right now.
Feeling like we got a good group, but it'll take a little bit of time with this team, but just got to continue it. It doesn't get easier with our schedule. It's going to be some good challenges, and excited about playing Murray State at home on Thursday.
Tip-off at Johnson Arena is set for 4 p.m. Thursday. Updates for all of the MSU sports teams can be found at msueagles.com. In other Morehead State athletics news, the Eagles volleyball team, track and field teams, and the competitive rifle team will all be back in action later this week. We'll have more on that this week on Mountain Edition. The Rowan County Senior High School girls basketball team is hoping to hit the road later this week. The young team has struggled to find opportunities to get its footing, with 6 of their 9 games canceled so far this season due to circumstances surrounding the pandemic. Currently, with an 0-3 record, the Vikings are set to face Morgan County on Thursday. Coach Matt Stokes says some of his girls have been off for multiple weeks. The next couple of weeks will largely deal with self-examination.
We changed a couple of plays around a couple of weeks ago when kids are out, so we're going to have to make sure everybody knows what plays we're doing. And, I think before we went on this last little break, defensively we were starting to get to where we wanted to be. So our focus is really, like I said, for these next 2 weeks have got to just be on us and not who we're playing.
Tip-off in Morgan County Thursday is set for 7:30. The Cougars currently have a 5-3 record. The Rowan County Senior High School boys basketball team is preparing for a couple of road contests this week. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
The boys team has had a few of their early season games canceled, but otherwise the Vikings are off to a tremendous start with a 5-1 record. Rowan's boys have seen 4 games canceled so far due to the pandemic, including a home game scheduled for this Thursday against East Carter. However, Tuesday's road matchup against Ashland Blazer is still a go for 7:30. The Tomcats have also seen a good start to the season, currently holding a 6-2 record. The Vikings will then have a couple days off before hitting the road again on Saturday to face Morgan County. Tip-off against the 3-1 Cougars is set for 7:30. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd reporting.
Finally, in sports this afternoon, the WYMT Mountain Classic tips off tonight at Perry County. Paintsville Independence boys head to Floyd Central. Raceland welcomes Fairview, and Prestonburg travels to McGoffin County. In girls' regional action, Russell heads to Lewis County, and Fairview hosts Paintsville. All of those games are set to begin tonight at 7:30 p.m. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Bud Luke has a stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Barrett. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks had their biggest rally in about 10 weeks, and several strategists said the recent explosion of speculative buying won't derail the bull market in equities. And the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 229.29 at 30,211.91. The S&P 500 was up 59.62 at 3773.86. And the NASDAQ soared up almost 2.5%, finishing with a gain of 332.7. at 13,403.39. And, of course, this week, earnings are in focus as tomorrow after the close, Amazon.com and Google parent Alphabet both report earnings. And, of course, both were very strong today, finishing up over 3.5%. AMC Entertainment, which has been a favorite of day traders who have been reading the Reddit website, it was strong today. But then, on the other hand, GameStop tumbled. And, of course, the battle between retail brokers and hedge funds is likely to cause a significant setback for markets, according to many analysts, although here in the short term, things seem to have calmed down. And in the commodities markets today, oil was very strong, finishing with a gain of 2.8% at $53.67. And as mentioned, silver very strong, up over 7%. Gold was up almost 1%. And the dollar finished with a gain of about 0.3%. Also, in very important to the Morehead area, App Harvest had its initial public offering, and the stock did finish today's trading with a gain of $11.17, finishing at $35.85 a share. Other stocks, in terms of their action today, Marathon Petroleum was up 28 cents at $43.44. CSX was up $1.30 at $87.05. Community Trust Bank was up 45 cents at $36.91. And PPL Energy was up 25 cents. Finishing at $27.92. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Josh Grogan, Heather Fannin, Ben Hall, Daria Denisenko, Carrie Stambo, Keneally Roberts, and Shamari Mosley. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Tanner Boyd. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Rachel Turner and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.